Hi, and welcome to Understanding God's Word for Such a Time as This. I am your host, Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we are here tonight to discuss the Word of God. I am grateful that you all tuned in tonight, and I just have some things that was on my heart that I'd like to say, a few things with a couple of scriptures to address situations that we as Christians face in this day and age. And I pray that this evening you're having a blessed evening and that things are going well and according to the faith and the Word of God. So tonight, I just wanted to read a couple of scriptures, and the one scripture that was on my heart, well, there's a couple, but I will start out with this one, which is we walk by faith and not by sight. One of the things I am disturbed by as Christians, or as I see Christians who proclaim and profess to be lovers of the Lord and the Word of God, is the fact that we, more than others of other religion or other of this world system, walk by what we see more than by faith. And what I mean by that is, there are many of us that proclaim that we believe God, we believe Christ, we believe the cross. But we have to understand that believing is based upon your, you can't say you believe if your object of faith is wrong. If your object of faith is not squarely placed in trust in the cross of Christ, God's redemption plan, it is hard for you to walk in action, walk according to the dictates of the Word of God. And so tonight I just want us to see that there's too many of us that are not walking or living the more abundant life. We're not being light in darkness. We're not allowing the truth of God's Word to invade our hearts and mind, so we can be a representative of what God's Word declares that we should be. So this one scripture, as I stated before, walking by faith, not by sight, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you'll bear with me, I just want to, you know, some things that's on the heart, on my heart, that I see that we sell ourselves short as Christians. As Christians, we are too caught up in our fleshly desires being fulfilled, our comfort being undisturbed. We're too caught up in our biases and our beliefs not being challenged. And the one thing that a Christian should be is a student of the Word of God, a master of the Word of God. And so when the world comes to us with questions and lack understanding, we should be the first not to think critically of them, but we should welcome their questions. We should be able to have an answer for the hope and the faith that exists or reside within us. So before we get started, let me say a quick prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that you are the giver of faith. We thank you that you're the author of faith and the finisher of faith. And as we come, we pray that the Holy Spirit will come forth and have his way. We decrease to allow your purposes, your mind, your desires, and your will to invade each of our hearts and mind. And let us with meekness receive the engrafted word, which your word declares is able to save the soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the scripture I said again was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now we have to define faith. First of all, we'll define what the word walk means. And to walk, it means an action. It means your lifestyle, your manner of living. So here today, if we look at what we do, is we take the Hebrew and Greek, we look at the literal or translation or the meaning of the word. It says to make one's progress or way. Okay, to make due use of opportunities. So it means also to regulate one's life or to conduct oneself. So when the scripture says, for we walk by faith, we make our way or progress by faith. We have to define what faith is. We make due use of the opportunities that faith presents to us. And so faith cannot just be generic faith. Everybody has faith in something, but faith here has to be in what Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary. The reason why faith has to be defined and clarified is because the Holy Spirit will not work outside of faith according to God's way. And that is through the redemption plan of Jesus Christ when he suffered, bled, and died at Calvary. It was a finished work. He paid the penalty for sin. He was a sin offering. See? And we have to understand him as a sin offering, that the guilt that was upon you and I, we were guilty and God's wrath follows us until we submit and embrace God's way, the cross. So the only way, belief is the action part of faith. If my faith is in the cross and I believe God, it's not a mental assent, it's an action. I make my progress, my way. I make due use of every opportunity, meaning that in this life, I am not a victim. And it leads me to one of the points I want to make. Many of us as Christians have fallen for the scheme of the world system to see ourselves as victims. We're looking at our past. We're looking at past sins of others. We're looking at our own past sins, and we're not making progress. We're going backwards, which is called backsliding. Today we have the movement, and I like to take, this is what this part of understanding God's word for such a time as this deals with. It deals with our walk, us as Christian, living this life based upon what is happening in today's events and situations, circumstances. Today there is a movement. There's a movement using the political parties or political parties to cause us to see ourselves as victims. This movement does not glorify God and how he shows us or causes us to make progress through faith. So you and I cannot be Christians. We cannot say we're Christians walking a victorious Christian life when we're stuck on the past sins of others. It doesn't matter what the sin is or what's happening. You and I supposed to be able to forgive and move forward. We're to progress, to make due use of opportunities. Now understand this, Christ, when he was dealing with Peter, he knew that Satan desired to sift him, meaning that Satan desired to inwardly agitate Peter to the point of overthrow. That's what it means in the original Greek. When it says sift, it's an inward agitation to the point of overthrowing one's faith. Okay? Satan did not want Peter to make progress in the life of faith in the cross. He did not want Peter to be developed. Today there is an effort, a conscious effort by an enemy who presents himself as an angel of light. And he will pretend to be working on your behalf, but at the same time, he has a motive to stop your progress in the things of God. He does not desire for you to obtain all that God has for you, all the benefits of Calvary. The only way that we can get to God is through Christ. And the only way to Christ is through the cross. And the only way to the cross is through a denial of self. When self is on the throne of our hearts, then we will we will side with those who side with our cause. We'll side with those who support our cause, who have our views and our biases. You see what I'm saying? Today I'm finding that too many Christians, we say we're Christians, but if we're Christians, we will stand up and support Christian values. Understand this. This is not about politics. Too many Christians thinking it's about politics, and we're blowing it off. We're blowing it off, and we're making it about something that has to do with a moral stance, has to do with you making your progress or your way by according to faith in Calvary. This is the only way you can be developed. The way you know you're not developed is when you think that your fight in this life is for social justice, as a social justice warrior, to fight for this racism that's been promoted, that everybody's a racist, to fight this thing that's now called white privilege, to fight against these all these different things that are coming down the pipe. And we as Christians, we won't stand for abortion or against abortion. We won't stand against marriage between a man and a woman. But we side. How do you say, why am I saying we're supporting it? It's because of the political platform we support. If I say I'm a Christian, I can't support platforms that support, that are for abortion or for gay marriage. It's not, this right here is a sign, or it shows your level of maturity. It shows that you're not being developed in some areas to side with the world and to go with the masses and to blow off the very things God told you and I to stand up for and be a light. Is a slap in God's face. We're trampling the blood of Jesus Christ anew. You see this? And so we have to learn. We have to learn. You cannot separate. You cannot separate your life from the Word of God. The Word of God should invade your life. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's there for the purpose of dividing the soul. It can divide the soul from the spirit. It can bring to surface the intents and the thoughts of the heart. So when the scripture says we walk by faith, we make our progress. We make due use of every opportunity by faith. We walk by faith in the cross of Christ. Okay? We have to regulate our life according to faith in Christ and Him crucified. We have to conduct ourselves according to faith in Christ crucified. Now, when Christ walked the earth, Christ was seen by the world system, by the religious world system, by his family as being just out of his mind. They saw him as a lunatic. They saw him as the devil. They saw him as just a con. You know, who are you? You born in our family. We know you. You call yourself the Son of God or the Son of Man. They look down upon our Creator, God Almighty, simply because his message was from the kingdom of God, from his heavenly Father. Simply because he came to fulfill the will of God, and it was contrary to man and his thought process. See, the way God's ways and God's thoughts are high above our ways and our thoughts. And it's time that we rise up to the occasion. It's time that we start letting God deal with our hearts. Too many Christians are blinded to the truth. The enemy has blinded the minds of many saints. And Satan has already gotten the world. But my disappointment is with the church, the so-called church, who hear the word week after week, but yet we still are stubborn and stiff-necked, and we support things of this world system that's contrary to God. I have to keep making, hitting in or honing in on this, because God has put this on my heart so heavily. Too many people, too many Christians are not representing God, the kingdom of God. He said, don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. How are we taking it in vain? It's not talking about cursing, saying curse words. It's talking about we're saying we're something, but our lives show that we're not that thing that we claim to be. See this? That's taking the name of the Lord in vain, meaning that you are not letting God make his way or progress. You're not making your way. You're not walking by faith. You're walking by sight. So how do we know we're walking by sight? Well, Mr. Peter, when God said divine and spiritual things, he said the religious leaders will come and they will persecute me. The government will come and persecute me. They will have me mocked and scorned, and they will whip me, and they will do all these things simply because I stand up for my Father and his kingdom. And when he said that he must die, Peter immediately said, far be it for you to go to the cross. No, no, you can't go to the cross. Why? Because Peter wanted his desires fulfilled. And Christ spoke against his desire. He wanted to follow Christ only because he had a motive outside of the will of Christ. You see this? This is where many of us as Christians are. We're willing to say amen, quote the word, read the word, attend church services and Bible studies. But as soon as the word comes against what our outlook, biases, opinions, perspectives are, we shut down on God. So God told Peter, Christ looked at Peter, but he also looked at the spirit that was at work at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, thou art an offense. See, anybody that's walking by sight is an offense to the things of God. And I don't care who it is. Any of us walking by sight, we're an offense. Why are we an offense? Because it's a hindrance. It's a hindrance to progression. It's a hindrance to walking in the things or by the Spirit of God. So God simply rebuked Peter. And because he rebuked Peter, in essence, he had to address the error that Peter, the direction. And so here he tells Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. See, when we're in the flesh, we give Satan an opportunity or a license to use us. When we're carnal, we look at things from a human perspective instead of a divine perspective. And because we're looking at things from a divine, a human perspective, it hinders your progress, hinders you from walking by faith. It hinders you from making your way or your progress and making due use of the opportunities that the Holy Spirit will bring before you. So again, we go back to the scripture when he said Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. It meant that the word sift was an inward agitation to the point of overthrow. This is what Satan wants to do. He wants to overthrow your faith. How does he overthrow our faith? If we are not crucified with Christ, we do not live. Meaning that through fear, through doubt, we will not understand what to do. We won't know what to do. So therefore, we'll fall for whatever the world has to offer. And like we said before, whether it be coronavirus, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what Satan used. He uses those things to take away your freedom, to hinder you from making progress in the things of God. And once he does that, you cannot be used by God to stop Satan from wreaking havoc in your heart and life and in your circle. See, it takes one person at a time to be changed by the Spirit of God before a community can be changed, before a household can be changed, which will affect a community, which will affect a city, which will affect a state, and eventually a nation. We're called to be light in darkness, and I'm finding too many Christians who are conforming to darkness. They're not transforming by having a renewed mind. They don't want to go through the renewal process, because the renewal process demands that I present myself to God as a living sacrifice. The only way I can be living is to be first dead to sin, self, the world, and Satan. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in this body of flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is how I walk by faith. I have to be crucified with Christ daily. I have to learn to deny myself, my will, my desire. And the Holy Spirit will give you. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to put to death, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's in Romans 8. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to put to death the things in me that's contrary to the way of God. And so what happens is, as the Holy Spirit, as I yield to the process of the cross, remember, Christ said to Peter, Satan's acts to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed that your faith, he didn't say, I pray that you don't go through it and I want you to get out of it. No, he said, I pray that your faith fail not. We walk by faith, not by sight. It is our job and responsibility to place our faith in the right object, not in your church, not in your efforts, not in your abilities. Too many of us have been directed, misdirected to put our faith in the pastors, in our church ministry. Nothing wrong with it, but we can't put our faith in it. We come together and fellowship because we should be all in the same unity of the faith. That's what makes us walk in unity, is that we have faith in the right object. So it's important that where you go to church matters. Who you sit under for your teaching and understanding matters. If they are not pointing you to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then you can be misguided and misdirected and think it's about a pastor, it's about an organization, or about a ministry. When Christ is the head of the church. See this? The church is not the four walls. The church are individual, blood-bought saints who trust in God and His redemption plan through Jesus Christ at the cross. So we see here, he says, so we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, we said it again, is to make due use or to make one's progress or way. So to walk means how we live our life. And it should be according to faith in the cross, which will cause us to make use. God will present or bring us to different opportunities to exhibit faith and to allow faith to be worked out in us. Because it is God who puts His will and His desires in our hearts and life. So we're not walking by sight. Okay, sight simply means that we base things or make decisions based upon what we see and how we feel. Now, this too much of this is going on today. Too many of us are making decisions according to the way the world system make decisions. Meaning that when there is a lack, do we just run to government to get fix our problems? Do we just run to get to this cultural thing now that everybody's relying on? You know, it's about a certain color, certain race. And if you're not this way, then y'all understand what I'm saying? We got to get beyond what this world system presents to us. What's important is those things are just distractions. When they cause us to focus on the color of our skin, that's a distraction. Is to keep you from making your progress, from making your way according to faith in Calvary. It's to keep you on the level of your senses. And God wants us to become supernatural, not just walk natural, because the natural man does not understand the things of God because he doesn't have the mind of God. But we have the mind of Christ. See this? And the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. See, there are things that we in our natural mind try to comprehend, but compared to God, the Holy Spirit, He can reveal to you the deep things. When Adam and Eve chose to obey Satan, they wanted wisdom outside of godly counsel. They chose to stand in the counsel of the scornful. See? They sat in the seat of the scum. They listened to unholy and ungodly counsel. So they got some wisdom, but they also got wisdom based upon sin. They experienced sin. God would have given them wisdom beyond sin without the experience of sin. See this? This is what happened when we walked by sight. She saw fruit, desired to be wise, and she wanted to be wise like God. See that? Many people today want wisdom, but we go the route of the world system. Now, God has given us doctors and lawyers and all these things. He's allowed some good people to do some things. But guess what? If my faith is in the wisdom of man, professionals can be corrupt. We've seen that here lately, dealing with these medical doctors supported by the mainstream media. They're promoting things and saying things that's contrary to the facts and causing people to go down a path that can bring harm to their bodies. Why? Because fear has pushed us into their arms. Fear has caused it. The fear of not knowing what's going on and what's happening has pushed us into the arms of these men and women who wear titles as professionals, but they are not there for our well-being. It's about money. It's about greed. And they lie to us and give us misinformation and disinformation to lead us on a path that brings destruction. This is what Satan did. They had a motive. Satan had a motive. He did not give Eve wise counsel. He didn't. And because he did not give Eve wise counsel, she, not only did it affect her, it affected her husband. The fall came and it affected all of us. So everyone born of the womb of a woman now has a bent towards wrongdoing. We inherited a sinful nature. But the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to correct that. We have to be regenerated. We have to be regenerated. We have to be born again. See, that's the whole purpose of the born again experience, is to get us to not rely on our feelings and our emotions and what we see and hear, but to trust God and his plan, that even though I may not feel holy, I know that he's working holiness out in me by faith in the cross. Now, I want you to see a couple of things, and I didn't want to be too long before you tonight, but I want you to see a couple of things here. One thing I want to see is I think it's in Hosea chapter 6, if I'm not mistaken. It may be chapter 4, but let's go here and let me see. I want you to see that we have to learn to approach God daily according to his way. And the problem is we approach God, but we come according to our way. And we come with our plans. We come with our own schemes and what we desire and then expect God to just sign off on it. But no, as Christians, we signed up to be married to Jesus Christ, and therefore he's the head of us as the church. Okay, so this is why we have to learn how to trust God and trust his wisdom. So in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." God, today, God has a controversy with the inhabitants of this land. And if you look at it, the reason why the world is in the state that it's in today is due to the church not standing and walking in truth. Truth as according to faith in Calvary. The church, we have many splits and denominations and many doctrinal belief systems contrary to the truth. There's only one truth. And because of that, it's created division. And this is what Satan wants. Because if we walk in unity where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so we will walk in the union with the Spirit, or unity of in the bond of peace with the Spirit. And if the Spirit, we're at peace with the Spirit, then he will bring about unity. But because we've been divided by denominations and by doctrinal beliefs or whatever, Satan has called, if we're divided, we can't stand. So God here tells Israel he has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. There is a famine of the word of God today. Nobody knows what truth is. We have so much information. We have so much misinformation that even the very elect, the church, is almost confused about what is true and what's false. And that's about the word of God. And that's about anything that's happening and taking place today. So he says in verse 2 of Hosea 4, "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood." Do we see this today throughout the whole world? It says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwells therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. So in other words, these people are not living according to God's way. Every man is doing whatever he wants, and therefore it affects the land. And the land mourn. The people that dwell in languish. The beasts of the field, they feel the effects, and the fowls of the air. Okay? And it says here, therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Now listen to verse 6. This is what I want us to see. My people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. It's not because knowledge wasn't there. Adam and Eve had knowledge not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they chose to disobey. So this is the same for God's people. The reason why the land was in the state that it was in, it was because in verse 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You see this? It says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Much of what we're seeing today, the state of the church as we see an organized church or what have you, is because we're destroyed because we push the message of the cross. We're walking by sight instead of by faith. We're walking according to how we feel and what we think things should be like. And so instead of what God requires. You see this? So he says they're destroyed. They were destroyed. My people were destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Why? They rejected the knowledge. What did Adam and Eve do? They rejected the knowledge that God had given them. Therefore, mankind was destroyed. We were separated from God. Sin entered in. So much of this language in the land that we're seeing across nations is due to God's people. And we're not walking by faith. We're walking by sight. See this? Now in First Chronicles, and I'm just going kind of fast, but you can write them down, these scriptures down if you want to. First Chronicles chapter 12, and I think it's verse 32. God always has a few that have not bowed the knee to this world system. And there are a few who will listen and who will get the mind of Christ and relay it to those who are seeking the will of God in current situations or circumstances. Now, we've dealt with or dealing with this outbreak of the coronavirus, but God can give us truth and wisdom in the midst of it. A lot of people can't see the spirit at work behind what's happening with this virus. This people, globalists plan years before to use this event, this situation, to bring about, to shift the world system or the people of the world system into what they've called the Great Reset. But God can use the evil for those who seek understanding and wisdom and use it as the Great Awakening. He will let you see some things. He will unveil the hidden agendas of the enemy and of this world system and open your eyes to the reality of what's really happening. If God were to strip back the heavens and let us see the warfare, the spiritual warfare at work, some of us would just realize that man or men on the thrones and in positions are being used as puppets to propel Satan's agenda in the earth. And what Satan is working towards is a one world government where it will usher in the Antichrist. See, many Christians not looking at things from that perspective. Too many of us are just looking at, I go to church, had a good time, go home, forget about church, what they went through during the weekday, and then start the cycle all over again. We're not seeking to know how to apply God's word to everyday situations and life events. So in 1 Chronicles, and we're going to close shortly, 1 Chronicles 12 and 32, notice what he says here. He's talking about these different tribes, and some of them been given different responsibilities. So it says here in verse 32, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. See that? That's all I want to read of that scripture. The sons of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times. Today, this is still in effect. God will reveal the hidden things. He will unveil to those hearts who are a broken and a contrite spirit, heart and spirit. From such, he will not turn away. Now, remember Isaiah in 1 Kings chapter 6. It said, when King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then Isaiah saw himself. He saw God high and lifted up. And then he saw himself as he really was. And himself, he said he was a sinner. And God cleansed him by when an angel took a coal from the fire from the brazen altar and he touched his lips. And after he went through that cleansing, that was him, the cross, it was taken from the brazen labor altar, which was the cross. It represented the cross. Then Isaiah heard. You see how this thing progressed? He heard. What did he hear? He heard the Lord God talking. And they said, who will go for us? And who can we send? And Isaiah responded, send me, I'll go. See, Isaiah got some insight into the throne of God, the way of God. He heard, he saw himself, he heard, and he answered the call. God will give men and women who are submitted to the cross understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Today, that same thing applies. He will give wisdom in the midst of this coronavirus. Now, a lot of people will say, well, they're just quacks because the mainstream media will come against medicines that work and have worked for years, like hydroxychloroquine. And they'll make you think the media will attack the very things, the wisdom that God has given. And I say this because a lot of people need to know that the mainstream media is the biggest false prophet. It is the biggest propaganda machine, and it promotes lies. Why? It is a puppet or a tool of Satan. It's no different than the serpent being used to convince Eve that she could be wise and like God. He used disinformation. You see this? He used disinformation because there was a plot and a motive and a desire to be fulfilled. What was it? He wanted to get or gain dominion of the world system or the earth, which was given to man. But because man obeyed Satan, they handed him the keys, and he legally has a right to wreak havoc in your life. Why? Because the first Adam failed. This is why Christ had to come as the last Adam. He had to come and endure all the temptations that the first Adam did. He was fully God, but yet fully man. He never lost possession of his deity. He laid it aside to simply express himself as a man. And he had to be tempted, but yet he passed it. He did what the first Adam should have done. He conquered the temptation and the threats of Satan. He did not bow to the temptation that Satan offered him, even in his most critical moment when he hungered and he thirsted. He was tempted at his lowest points. And when he was on the cross, they said, physician, heal thyself. Come down from the cross. That was Satan's attempt to get him to not fulfill the will of God as a man. Had he come down from the cross and delivered himself, he would have been disqualified as a redeemer. And none of us would have been saved today. You see this? This is the attack and the temptation of Satan. He uses the same scheme today to keep us from the promises of God, to keep us from walking by faith and not by sight. When we are led by fear, we will do things not understanding what it is and the consequences of his actions. But when we walk by faith, God will direct and lead you to give you understanding of the times, to know what you ought to do. See, God will give you wisdom. And as I stated before, there are alternatives to a vaccination, a vaccine. That's just a clinical trial. It's a trial. It's an emergency use. It's not even mandatory, or it's not even approved by the FDA. And now I keep saying this because you need wisdom. You need the facts about stuff, and for you to go and research it yourself, because guess what? Google, the big techs are going to hide this information. You need to know where to look. You need to know where to search. You need to find out other search engines that do not hinder and hamper the algorithms so that you don't get the proper information. There is an attack today on information, and you and I need to know what to do, how to escape it, how to get around it. And God has opened doors and given us opportunity. But don't be like Israel was in the book of Hosea. They were destroyed. Why? Due to a lack of knowledge. They rejected. It wasn't that God didn't present it. They simply rejected it. And on that note, I'm going to have to close because I've gone over my time. But I just want everyone to see that God has wisdom even in these times that we live in today. God is still working the same way he worked way back when in the Old and New Testament. Maybe in a different way, but we have to align or approach him the right way to get answers. And too many of us have been trying to approach God in our own efforts, our own strength. And this is why he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, is what he says. So we need to learn how God works. We need to learn how he operates. Okay. And once we learn that, we'll learn how to rest. We have to cease from our own labor, our own efforts, our own planning, our own scheming. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. All of this will be given to us by the Holy Spirit as I rest. The problem is getting us to rest, getting us to stop walking by how we feel and what we see and walk by faith. Simply trusting in God's way, reposing in his plan and allowing him to order your steps. So until next time, I thank you all for tuning in tonight. If you have questions or comments, you can find us on Facebook. If you look up Understanding God's Word Ministry, you'll see the ministry page, or you can email us at speterkin@sprintmail.com. That's speterkin@sprintmail.com. We'll look forward to hearing from you. So until we'll be back again and we'll finish this up. So until next time on Understanding God's Word for such a time as this, I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we'll see you again next time. Thank you and be blessed.